Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Grandma, Pa, and me, we came on the slope, John B. Round Nassau Town, we did roam. Been drinking all night, and we got in a fight. I feel so breaker, I wanna go home. I bought me a brand new pants, I started to go to a dance. Too much sat down my pants, boys, I had to go home. Up the John B. sail, let's see how the mainsail set. Send for the captain, sure, let me go home. I want to go home.
I
want to
go home.
I want to go home. I feel so breaker. I want to go home. The captain, the mate got drunk, broke up the people drunk.
Good morning. You know when you hear a song and you say, man, I can't end it now. I gotta hear the rest of the song. So you see me here looking at Ali and say, no, Ali, let that song play. Because I feel so break up and I want to go home. But I hear with Aaron Green, and we'll be talking about today is Bohemiana. Bohemiana is a phrase I keep on throwing out there, and I'm trying to get it in the national, what do you call it, like dictionary? Diction? What do you call it?
Lexicon.
I think that's it. That's why I keep you here, you know, to
like
explain these big words.
I think that's a dance, maybe.
That's okay, but like lexicon. Yeah. Bohemiana needs to be a part of the official lexicon of the Bahamas. We need to have a definition on what it is to be Bohemian and what is Bohemiana. And I believe Bohemiana is more than just the culture. It's the way of life, the nuances of what makes us who we are, right? It's a little piece of here, a little piece of there, a little piece of what's not, a little piece of that's not, that only in the Bahamas it happens like that, right? It's basically synergy. Right? A culmination of all the parts, and now we have a product, have a entity, a sum of parts that's completely different from any other place. In the Bahamas today, there is a national debate, a national social debate that is happening in all spheres of social media. We are talking about music. The other day, as part of the Bohemian celebration of independence, they had a band, help me here, Aaron.
A band competition?
No, it wasn't a band competition. Like a battle of the bands, but it was a...
You mean the concert?
The concert.
On Saturday night, where
yes.
They had all the Bohemian artists, like...
The different types of bands instead of Bahamas.
Yeah, I want to say a Dre Load, but that's Jamaican. They had a Georgie bundle of...
Yes.
Bohemian performance.
Bands. Yeah. And it was a celebration of different type of genres, right? It was not necessarily Bohemian music, but they had different genre of music that is celebrated and performed by Bohemian bands. And perhaps that narrative should have come out beforehand, that Bohemians would have been aware of that's what's happening. But that was something spectacular and something that was celebrated. But it has brought this debate now, what is Bohemian music? Mm-hmm. Right, especially as we celebrate Bohemiana and celebrate the country's independence, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to be 50 years old come July 10th. But I have Aaron here, and of course, I always ask him a big question to help me define things. So we're going to start off with the questioning about what is Bohemiana.
Hold on, I just want to stick a pin. You have me here because we talking about that song, John B. Sale, right?
We can do that John B. Sale next.
And I did a whole anthology of covers and songs. And you tell me John B. Sale was not Bohemian.
And I get the next.
Yeah, I just want
apologize.
To say that's why I hear.
I got to apologize and I can go there.
Okay.
Because now I have an author of the song. And it's not Blind Blake. It's not black.
Right, right. That's not the original. Even though that's sweet.
Even though that's sweet, sweet. But let's go Bohemiana. Then we go straight. We jump right into John Lee Sailor.
So Bohemiana is all things Bohemian. Bohemiana is Bohemian culture. All things Bohemian is Bohemiana.
What's Bohemian culture then?
Bohemian culture is what Bohemians do.
So when you say what does do, is that done by the majority or done by a minority group?
Well, it varies, right? There are some things that are Bohemian culture because the majority of us do it. And there are some things that are Bohemian culture because even though only a small subsection of the populace does it, they have done it consistently over decades, right? In some instances, over a couple centuries.
So it has two different definitions, parallel,
yeah,
but goes together to make what is Bohemian.
Yeah.
Like the quadrille.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily Bohemian, but it's being practiced consistently over the past, like over 100 years maybe.
Right, right.
So that's Bohemian culture.
Right, like peas and rice.
Yes.
All through the region, mm-hmm. people making rice with peas in it.
I'm listening because I can bait you right now.
Right? But there's a particular way we make our peas and rice.
Is there really a particular way how? I know once upon a time when I was younger, in the 70s and the 80s, mm-hmm. there was a particular way we made peas and rice with pigeon peas.
Yeah.
With thyme, the big piece of thyme, with a salt beef
so
in it.
Thyme and tomato.
And tomato. But I haven't eaten that in decades.
Thyme and tomato and the peas and rice.
I'm talking about pigeon peas. Because I think pigeon peas make peas and rice.
Make Bohemian peas and rice. And yeah, I think you're right. And then people say green pigeon peas or dry pigeon peas.
But it had to be pigeon peas.
I think you're right.
And if it's not pigeon peas, is it Bohemian peas and rice?
No, it's a variation.
It's a variation.
Yeah.
Is the essence of peas and rice, but not Bohemian peas and
it's
rice.
It's not traditional peas and rice. And see, I think we want gatekeep, right? But we can have this conversation in an inclusive way. There is what is traditional, and then there are variations, right? And it's 2023. In another 50 years, right, they're going to be having this conversation, and they're going to say, listen, the traditional was pigeon peas and rice. And we move fast forward 50 years, we realize that what has remained is the thyme and the tomato, the type of peas could change. And in another 50 years, the people can say, but listen, Andres now have a tradition of putting coconut.
I get into that now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what early coconut is?
Yeah, that's the early nut.
When I was younger, my mother used to boil early coconut in order to put in her pigeon peas and rice.
Mm-hmm.
Now Bohemians are using coconut milk.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who cooks with early coconut anymore.
I know.
She make an oil. She make an oil.
From it and use that.
And use that to make peas and rice. And this was the essence of what peas and rice was. And I'm saying that we are now, whoever is the gatekeeper.
Stick a pit. And so then I think we should ask this question across the board. How has the merchant imagination, right? How has the imagination of the merchant class mm-hmm. shaped culture or changed culture in this place, right? Because people just assume she must get the coconut flavor from the coconut milk, or that you could recreate the same flavor from the early nut with the coconut milk, right?
It don't taste the same, man.
The same way can't taste the same.
How they replacing pigeon peas with red kidney beans and saying that's Bohemian peas and rice.
Yeah.
Say something wrong.
No, that's Jamaican.
No.
Kidney beans in the rice.
You go to any Bohemian restaurant and see what they give you for
dinner. No. I'm agreeing with you that there's been this lapse, right? And somebody should be gatekeeping. You could be a Bohemian making food, but should you be allowed to call it traditional if it isn't traditional,
mm-hmm.
right? Like we're talking about sauce.
Yes.
You have people putting carrot in the sauce and calling it traditional sauce. I don't even think I had made a pot of sauce in my life yet. However, I do know that carrot is not the traditional pot of sauce. I could tell you how the carrot come into the sauce and the stew fish. I could tell you how. Because carrot is a chef's trick. If your pot is too salty, you can drop some carrots in it. Because carrots absorb salt.
Oh, okay. I said you dropped potatoes, but go ahead.
But that's how the carrots get inside the dip. People say, oh, because it give it a little color.
Okay.
My belly don't have eyes.
Let's say junk canoe sauce.
Something like that. Like how the junk canoes went off and brought back elements of other carnivals and festivals to bring into junk canoe. There's a traditional junk canoe, right? And then there are variations of junk canoe.
Okay, but let's get back into the original theme. We start off with John B. Sale,
yeah,
right? Which is amongst two songs that has transitioned, has gone globally. That and Funky Nassau. John B. Sale and Funky Nassau have been covered internationally by a varying artist, international artists.
I've done shows on both. Yes. I mean, we're talking about 15, 16, 20, 30 different versions.
Different versions.
You can just find easily.
And all my life, I thought that the author of John B. Sale was Blind Blake.
Right.
And now I'm saying that there is a version pre-Blind Blake by Alice Wims, and I'm that's who they're now saying is the author of the song.
Right.
Whoever it is, they're saying definitely it's a Bahamian song, and that it has been duplicated around the world. But Blind Blake has made it most famous, and especially when you on contract that Florida tour and welcoming tourists, that they have embraced and accepted it as at least a Bahamian song, even if they're not sure of who the author of it.
And I found collections, right? I found collections of shanties and sea songs, right, by recordings labeled made and sung by Bahamians in America.
By Bahamians in America.
Right.
And we need to remember also that in circa 1914, 1915, 1617, there was a proliferation of Bahamians who left the Bahamas to work on the first wave of the contract during World War I, right?
Mm-hmm.
And lived in Florida, building Coconut Grove in Miami, right?
Yeah.
That they had a theme of music and culture that the Bahamians developed in Florida, right? And they created songs and crafted by Bahamians, but Bahamians who were in the diaspora out there also.
Yeah.
But I see we have a caller here, but I wanted to hash that out because I still get into the nature of this conversation is what music is Bahamian music? Because there's a debate now on what should we accept, what should we be singing during this particular time. Right, and I want to have that conversation. But producer patched that caller through. Let's get to them. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
A pleasant good morning again for history on Bahamian music. Sparky here.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking now, but Pretty Blue Eyes, Lemon Tree, and one of our favorite songs written by a Bahamian who left the Bahamas at the age of 17, wrote a song about his mother in Foxville, gave the song to King Eric. Eric Menz, my cousin, wrote a song about his mother, Esther Menz, and it was named, I Want a Foxhill Gal, Then I Get Married. And everybody in Foxhill could tell you they remember the lady they called Esther Tech, but always rode a bicycle. She had a bicycle. Most of the time she would walk the bicycle. And she used to live in Blueberry Hill, and right now the new road called Frank Edgecombe Road, that was my mother's older sister, Esther Menz. I want a Foxhill Gal when I get married. I want a Foxhill Gal every day. That was written by Eric Menz in Montreal, Canada. God bless the dead. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See, now, hold on. They get this question, right? You say, okay, what does it mean? What is Bahamian music? How does it qualify to be Bahamian? Is it a traditional Bahamian genre? Is it gumbe? And then the subgenres of, you know, the folk, the junk canoe, the rake and scrape. Can it be Bahamian if it was not created in the Bahamas, right? And I argue that it is when you are not in the Bahamas that your heart is most connected to the Bahamas, right? It is when you are away, far away from home, that your heart yearns most for the Bahamas, and that's where some of the best Bahamian music is created, or where it is born, where it starts from, right? Some of them, because some of them also at the same time, the best Bahamian music come from the earth, right? Like Bagado, like the guy from Fox Hills, when I asked the question, who wrote Josias the JP, right? The beginning of Burma Road, Don't Mind Livingston, Josias the JP. Then we found out that song, Josias the JP, was written by Bagado, who was a Fox Hill man, and used to sit on the wall opposite Miss Miriam Roker House, the teacher, right? And he's a comedian and a musician. And all kinds of songs we know may have been born from that little space right there in Fox Hill, across the road from Miss Miriam Roker House, right? But can that be more Bahamian than the song that come out of Eric Men's heart, right? When he was in Canada yearning and longing to be in the Bahamas. You know, and these are the questions that we have to be prepared for. I don't know the answer, but we can't shy away from the question. And I think the problem has been a refusal to create a space for the discussion.
And let's go there. Is there a place for critique of Bohemian music?
Of course.
Without them getting offended to say, well, that is not Bohemian music. There is a need to define Bohemian music. There's a need to define what's a diverse genre. Because all Bohemian music aren't the same.
Right. I think that artists do get offended when people critique their work, right? I also think that we haven't prepared the proper space to do it. You have to curate a space, right? You have to be very careful how you do that. Like, I wanted to have a discussion, something that I think may have arisen again at this weekend's concert. Should a Bahamian artist be pegged or paid, right? Chosen, selected to do it for free, or be paid to sing the song of another Bahamian who is available to sing that song?
No. I'm going to topics like crazy, right?
Yeah.
I appreciate a good cover.
Right.
To say, man, that was beautifully done. But if there is a sitting artist who is waiting for a contract to sing their song, why pay someone to sing a cover of their song if they're there?
And the solution is always inclusion. The solution is always inclusion. Because you know what Bahamians want to hear? Bahamians want to hear the original. And then they want to hear another Bahamian remake it and make it funky.
Or make it theirs.
Right.
Not a bad imitation of the original.
Right.
At the concert, there was a gentleman named Wilfred Solomon.
Right, I know.
I thought he was dead. Honestly, I thought Wilfred Solomon was a dead. Dead. Transition
had passed.
Passed. Right, and he started off with a song I wasn't familiar with, and I said, oh, the voice sound familiar, but I don't know who this is. Then he started singing Andrus Island.
And I said,
this guy sounds just like the original. Hey, I wonder who he is. Then he gone on, Talking Fool is a very... I said, that's him.
Yes.
That's the guy there. And you know when you get nostalgia and everyone in the audience start chanting the song because they realize...
That's the boy.
That's the boy there. That's not a cover. This to Bay Dale, and he needs to be celebrated.
Yes.
It was the best sounding sound I ever heard. And you know, when you tear up to say, boy, I am happy to know that he's alive and well and that he still have the voice.
Yeah.
That it sounds just like the record still. And of course, they had other people try, and I said, sing it. And I said, no.
Let me send a shout out to DJ Sampler. DJ Sampler, I got one charge for you. We need a recording series, right? Mm-hmm. All we need is a booth and an artist. All of these artists, and we just need them to perform the top three tracks, right?
I see we have a caller here. Let's pass that caller through there, producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Nuri?
I'm doing well. Welcome.
I am just calling to comment on the show. I was at the concert as well, and I was amazed to see the caliber of our Bahamian artists. I think this year, this independence has been, this celebration has been more inclusive. As you would have seen, this probably was the first time that Baha Men has actually graced the stages for any of our independence celebrations, right?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have not seen them at any, and that was my first time, so I actually left about almost 4 o'clock Sunday morning, you know.
You went straight to church, right?
Pardon?
You went straight to church, right?
Man, no, boy, I couldn't get up. I ain't gonna lie. I don't think God holding that one against me, though.
No, I think you good.
But it's an interesting conversation you're having. It's one that we've been fighting within the music industry here in the Bahamas for a while. Me, personally, as an entertainer, I consider Bahamian music anything that Bahamian people do, with, you know, regardless of the genre.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, me, when I my style is basically jazz and R&B.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing it for many years now. So that's what people readily identify me with. However, when I released Ask Me Why I Run, to this day, people don't realize that I am the person who Mama gave explicit permission to cover her song.
Yes.
As one of her daughters.
You are Madame Duvalier's niece who released Ask Me Why I Run, the video with the young lady by the swimming pool?
But lady by the swimming pool, I didn't do a video for that.
Oh, okay. There's a cover.
When is the video done? I released it when they honored her for Junkanoo.
Nice.
Awesome.
And again, I see you talking about when you release songs and then you're on these platforms and, you know, someone tells me this one is doing that song, that one is doing the song and all these other kinds of stuff, you know, and you have people who have the right to do certain things and they're not included in the
official
in the shows, right?
Yes.
When Mama asked Mama, I said, Mama, how did you sit down and write Ask Me Why I Run? And she was like, well, you know, growing up where she lived off on Podolio,
mm-hmm.
not Podolio, Mini.
Mini Street?
Yes. You know, she said she had neighbors. And she said, you know, any given day you could see some kind of drama unfolding. And she said, when she did Ask Me Why I Run, she said that was exactly what happened. She said there was this neighbor next door. She was with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So she was married. And a lot of people, when they hear that song, I don't think they get that part.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She was married, and she was a little feisty and high-spirited, and she was the kind, well, I can go where I won't go.
Mm-hmm.
And when she came home from going out, she met the lock change. I'm the sweetheart up in the house.
Okay.
You know, and so I was fortunate, me and Chippy daughters.
Yeah.
She, Mama's a special person. You know, Annie and everybody could come and identify and say there's who is who and what's what. You know, and she said, when I first met her and I left her,
mm-hmm.
He said, I said, Mr. Valier, I'd like to come and see you again sometime. She said, you can come again as many times as you like, only if you stop calling me Mr. Valier. My children call me Mama.
Yes, ma'am. Wow. You
know, so I just wanted to share that. And it's amazing. I think we're losing so much of our culture. We're not recognizing our true pioneers and talented people, because even in the music, you know, among musicians, it's so clicky, you know, and there's no need for clicks. All of us together can advance this movement. When I started singing, I wasn't even 17 or 18, you know, and I was getting sneak in the clubs and you know, to perform and to do stuff. And I learned that way. We don't have many places now where young up-and-coming artists can show off and hone their skills and their talent.
Agreed.
you know, except Spotlight Lounge, you know.
Okay.
They're doing a great job there. So we have to encourage, and it's my dream to see us get back to where we were, where we had more live entertainment than anything else in this country. There's DJ thing all over the place, and we're allowing the hotels to do so many things, and you're missing. The talent in this country is unbelievable.
What I want you to do is leave your number with the producer, because so much things you said, I want to hash out again. So I'm going to put you on hold and let the producer get your number. But that's a conversation we need to continue, Aaron, in terms of DJ versus live music and how it is impacting the genre of
and the advancement of Bahamian music. Yeah. And ma'am, the video that I'm talking about, the video is a video of a song, Ask Me Why I Run, performed by Sherelle Cartwright.
Oh, that's me.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
That's you.
It wasn't really a video on YouTube. You saw it, huh?
Yes, ma'am. It's a video, definitely. Yes, and I played it on the show as well. It is a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
And please give your name and number to the producer so that we can connect with you and collect this story. I've been talking, Mama.
I hear
Calypso
you from
Mama.
Time to time.
Yeah, like that's my mama for real, and it's a pleasure to meet you.
You're welcome. Same to you. And also, I'll just put it in there. I was supposed to have released in time for Independence another one of her songs.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm kind of an entrepreneur trying to do my thing, you know, get my hand in too many fires, you know. But you will be the first one. I will release it and launch it on your show.
Right, thank you. And I can have Mr. Newry right here with me in case you're going to do it on his show. I can be right there with him. Yes, ma'am.
You know how to find me quicker than you.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I'm a soccer too, right?
Yes.
God bless St. Augustine's College. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. Enjoy your day.
Yes, ma'am.
But there is a complaint, and this is where we need to hash out things, right?
Yeah.
Saying that the newfound DJ who can play 20 songs just by calling up on his record player there, it's putting live musicians out of business.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
hampering the development of new talent, right? Because that's how new talent gets its start. We got events and we need people. And so you pull in new people, even if you just need an opening act, you need something to open for the headliner. You pull in these new people with a DJ. We ain't dissing the DJs, right? We ain't dissing y'all. It's a critical conversation. They fill up that space.
One of my concerns about the concert, and I'm glad I have that word in my mouth right now, right, was they had a series of artists performing, great artists, all singing the same song. The same songs, the same six songs. They're all doing covers.
Right.
No one came out. I mean, they did have people. But the critique where Sweet Emily was concerned about, she was available to sing her own song.
Right.
But they hired instead someone to sing, do a cover of her song, the version of her song. And I was noticing a trend that instead of having persons, and I understood the concept that they had bands. They wanted to highlight the different variation of bands in the Bahamas, which is good.
Yeah.
But they all the bands seem to be lazy, for lack of a better word, of trying to produce or create their own song, their own hits. But instead now doing covers of Bahamian songs, particularly when the artist who created the song is alive.
Right. So there's a space there, right? And what it is the band should play with the original artist. These bands we have in the Bahamas, people, these are the best in the world, and they're versatile. And so there should be a space for bands to perform their own songs, right? But these bands can play with the original artists. Now, at the same time, this covers conversation is so important because the Jay Mitchell song I wanted to play at the end of my segment, that's a cover.
That's a cover.
Echoes of My Mind, Ronnie Butler, that's a cover. By the Time I Get to Phoenix, that's a cover. Steiger Lee, that's a cover, right? Mm-hmm. And so the question is not about should you do a cover when the original artist is available, right? It's have you owned the song sufficiently that you could play your version next to the original and the audience loves both.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point, I think we're missing the point of this experience. Bahamians want to hear the original singer singing that song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like Wilfred Solomon.
Yes.
that was the experience, because you've heard other people singing the song.
Yes, yes.
Right? It's like a guy like Blaudy, and then Anwar. Anwar is Nosy Mother-in-Law. Anwar is, first name is, I think, maybe the original singer's relative, but he's, okay. The version that he does stands with the original.
Yes, parallel
right.
to it.
Right, and so the same way that I played The Revolutions and then Nita, The Good Lord, right? You will hear the original,
mm-hmm.
and you'd love to hear a contemporary artist owning it, owning the song and making it theirs in the same way.
The caller, Cheryl just mentioned that she's a bohemian jazz artist.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a critique by Dyson Knight about whether it was appropriate to have jazz music played at the concert. But it was
okay,
yesterday.
Right. I think the critique was a little more nuanced than that.
Go ahead.
I think Dyson was critiquing the layout of the concert performance schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was really concerned about the shifting of the tempo of the show.
Mm.
Right? And that the jazz band being placed where it was placed
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
disrupted the tempo of the show, right? Mm-hmm. And shift, and because I wasn't there, and so I imagine mm-hmm. it went from high pace to a sort of jazzy, bluesy pace, and then people sort of like cooled down, had a nightcap,
mm-hmm.
right? And may have left the concert because the tempo, right, the energy drop, not in a bad way, but just the music changed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that these guys, Selah and another group whose name I can't remember right now, they were the headliners for the major act.
Ah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Dyson's critique is really about how the concert itself was laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And the schedule was put together, and not a critique of the quality of the acts or their placement in an all Bohemian concert, right? Like, he wasn't saying they shouldn't be a part of an all Bohemian concert.
And going down and analyzing the critique, and again, the conversation about Bohemian music, Visage Band was there.
Yeah.
Right? One of the premier bands in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Versage do covers. Their whole act is basically covers. They have one or two songs also,
yeah.
but their whole act is mostly covers, right? And when they played, mm. they played covers.
Yeah.
And it just happens that their covers is normally be...
Rick and Scrapey.
No, it wasn't no Rick and Scrapey.
It was Calypso?
It was Calypso. They sing, what a guy who do... The Calypso... Marcel...
Marcel Montano.
He played the whole
medley. They did a medley
of all of the whole Trinidad, every Trinidad artist they play. Every Trinidad.
I have a vibe.
Every Trinidad.
I don't have look here. I don't have a problem with the cover at all, but you got to make it Bohemian. And my problem is this: you could make it Bohemian, that you don't, right? You the rake and scrape. The most exciting part of Junkanoo for me,
mm-hmm.
when I'm not rushing, right? Because when I'm rushing, that's the most exciting Junkanoo for me.
Yeah.
But is when they play covers of popular songs we know.
Yes.
Whether it's Bohemian Rake and Scrape, whether it's gospel,
mm-hmm.
City of Gold, Junkanoo cover is a classic, right?
Uh-huh.
Or whether it's rap. Man, they had a In the Gate, they played I Got Five on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had in the morning, this was even in the nighttime, in the morning, they had Bay Street rocking.
Because they bohemianize it.
Right, but you have to, I mean, it's not, you can't half step with the bohemianizing it. Like, by the time I get to Phoenix, Ronnie Butler put his foot in it.
Mm.
I think Glenn Miller is the original of that. Glenn Miller might as well become a Bohemian because that song is Bohemian now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But, so I don't mind a cover, but I will critique the life out of it. It's got to be Bohemian.
So there's space for covers.
Yeah.
And there's space for Bohemianizing songs.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, we're going to take a short break right now. It's Action by Run, which uh-huh. is by...
Maureen Duvalier, Calypso Mama is her performing name.
Nice. Just soak it in. That's when I
come out. The woman with the gun came through the door. Under my feet, grass grow no more. Ask me why I run. Tell you why I run. Say the woman at the door had a doggone shotgun. That is why I run.
As the Bahamas observes 50 years of independence, the Nassau Guardian is doing something special for our readers. During the week of July 3rd, as we count down to Independence Day, we will roll out a series of publications to mark this momentous occasion. We will remember the events that led us to becoming a nation state. We will trace our development over the last 5 decades, and we will consider where we want to be in the next 50. You don't want to miss our exciting lineup of independent supplements, as each is guaranteed to be a keepsake. Happy Independence, Bahamas, from the Nassau Guardian, your trusted source for news.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nurian. Of course, I have Aaron Green with me, and we are talking Bohemiana. We're talking, and this segment will be, is there a betrayal of Bohemiana, right? Is the new artist betraying that Bohemian sound, that Bohemian aspect of us, right? As we try to find ourselves, as we try to find the various genre of Bohemian music, as we celebrate we self. And on the break, Aaron was talking to me, speaking to me about Bohemian rap. And I said, is there such a thing as Bohemian rap? Bohemian reggae, Bohemian jazz, Bohemian soca. Is there such a thing? Is there space? Can there be space for that type of music? Especially as we celebrate our independence. Can we make room for them? And then Aaron's trying to enlighten me, what's the difference and how do we make it Bohemian? But go ahead, let's do that conversation before we go to the caller there.
All right, so we have lots of Bohemian rappers. We go all the way back. I mean, I remember Spoken Tones, Uncle Sarah, and Friends, and then we get Red Fox, and Red there's a list.
Over the Seas, we'll buy them.
Right. We'll buy them, and tons of it. I don't have all the names. For me, what is Bohemian rap? Those rappers that fit their mouths around Bohemian words, a Bohemian accent easily. They don't sound like they're trying to force American words and American cadence out of their mouths, right? So I think right away of that song, How'd It Go, Bro? Mm-hmm. How'd It Go, Daddy? Do something for me because I ain't got no money. And then I think of Bohemian Tree, right? Bohemian Tree. Is a Bohemian boy making Bohemian rap. And he's making Bohemian reggae. Most importantly, because he sounds like the words are Bohemian. When they come out of his mouth, his Bohemian mouth fits around those Bohemian words comfortably. Have you ever heard, I think we're going to end the show with a Bohemian Tray, right? I wanted to end it with a song, Special Passion by the Richie and Ali and Rose. Another song, it is disco funk, right? It's not a traditional Bohemian style, but as soon as this boy starts singing, you know he's a Bohemian and you know this is a Bohemian song.
We're going to go to this caller now, but I want to talk about whose responsibility is it to define the genres, to say that this is a genre, that is a genre. And because there's clearly a disconnect where government is hoping that the musicians do it. The musicians said, but they don't have the authority. The same way how they could announce that there is a national sport, they don't have the authority to announce there's a national Bohemian song without government's signatory on it. Declaration of it.
That feel like
because they have songs, they say, well, that's what it is, and then it doesn't catch on because it has to be an official narrative.
I feel that because Calypso should have taken off as a genre a long time. It's here. The genre is here.
Calypso.
We feel it.
Yeah.
We hear it.
Let's go to the caller here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Go ahead, sir.
Awesome. Okay. What I just called, you know, you just played my boy's song. Bill for Solomon, Andrews Island, Big and Strong.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm Bill for Solomon. He's from Andrews, but he's the Grammy Hammer now.
Okay,
he's the Grammy Hammer now.
I mean, you're saying that because you claiming him and you ain't letting him go back to Andrews, or what?
You got that correct.
Yes, sir.
Now, my only thing with the program was I enjoyed it, but unfortunately, I was not out there live to watch it. I watched it. There's a clip of it. I think the whole show is on YouTube.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my thing with it was is that they should have edited it for YouTube because there was too much airspace when artists was changing from, you know, going from the live band to the mm-hmm. single artist. I had an issue with that.
Yeah. And multiple stages.
But as far as the genre is concerned, I think what we need to focus on is that it was a display of behemoth with talent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you're singing, calypso, rap, you're doing reggae, whatever, you're displaying your local talent. And I think that's what we need to focus on. Because the Bahamas is full with various talented people. And that's what our focus need to be on. Wherever you are, you're a Bahamian, you're talented, you represent the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we need to focus on.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you, bro.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I tell you a quick story. Jerry DeVoe, Bahamian musician. Jerry DeVoe is one of three people. Sony Records have only ever, well, up to that point, had only ever given three people their own personal studios.
Yeah.
Prince was one of them. Jerry DeVoe is another one of them.
A Bohemian.
Bohemian. Huge in Japan and in Asia.
We need to have him come on the show and talk. But we have more callers here. Producer Patch to call us through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey.
There you live.
Good morning.
Hello.
Morning.
This is Greg.
Yes, sir.
You made a mistake.
Fill me in.
Hey, you said Glenn Miller was the original.
By the time I get to Phoenix.
Yeah. It was Glenn Campbell.
It was Glenn Campbell. My bad.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Glenn Campbell, get your bags ready. Use a Bohemian now.
Yes. Producer, let's go to the next call. Go ahead, Cole. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead. You're live.
Yes. We're talking Bohemia, right, for the Independent?
Bohemiana. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I haven't heard one mention of the great launch of the Bohemian movie that took place over this weekend. It highlighted a lot of Bohemian music and a lot of Bohemian talents, a lot of Bohemian food, culture, but it wasn't mentioned, and it took place this weekend along with the concert.
Thank you very much for mentioning it again. Give us a rundown about the movie, and if it's going to be aired again anytime soon.
Well, the movie will be airing again. It was just the premiere that took place on Friday evening.
The Real Betrayal.
Yes, The Real Betrayal, and it highlighted one of the topics you're discussing, Bohemian music. All of the music in that movie was Bohemian. The crowd was rocking, and they truly enjoyed it. And the movie, of course, we were on your show recently to discuss the movie. And it is part of the celebrations for independence. And I think it should be mentioned among all of this great Bohemian that is taking place today.
I agree. And when is it going to be aired again? So at least people will be able to plan their day.
Well, the date and time has not been established yet. Like I said, Friday night was just the premiere. That has taken place in the next few days. Definitely the date will be announced. It will take place amongst and during the time of the independence celebration around the 10th or thereabouts or shortly thereafter. But it will be part of all the festivities that are going to be taking place during independence.
Thanks, man. Very much. I appreciate you calling to remind us. It's definitely something we should celebrate.
Right, because we have to have a segment in here about movies, the silver screen. We got to talk about Sidney Poitier's influence both like artistically and politically, right? And how his mere visibility was a political statement in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. In the global north for the Bahamas and for the rest of the Caribbean.
I see we have another caller here. Producer, when you get it through, pass that through for us, please.
We ain't talk about Bert Williams yet and Calvin Lockhart and all of those names. And then we got to get to Chelly Moss. I think Chelly Moss may have
Ball's Alley.
Right. He may have surpassed Sidney Poitier in the number of movies made.
Yeah. And let's talk about that too. But let's pass to this caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good morning.
Morning, morning.
Hello?
Morning, morning.
I would like to hear the song by Mike. I think it was Mike Smith or something like that who sang Living in the Hands of the Finance Man. I haven't heard that in years, and that's something we should play. So just, it's a part of our Bahamian culture, too.
Yes, sir.
Living in the hands of the finance man. And that was like a little reminder or a tip back in the days when that came out.
That's Bahamian funk again.
We just lost that as time went on, and that means something.
We haven't lost it. I can tell you why. Because my boy, Bigger T, Bigger T did a remake of that with the original artist. That's Eric Mins, right?
Carter? I would like to hear the old-fashioned one, maybe the old one.
Right, but the point I'm making is that Have No Fear, younger artists have also seen the value of that song and have ensured its posterity by remaking it and reimagining it.
Thank you very much, Carter. And producer, if you can find that song, you can play that whilst we're talking also, so we can hear that too. But there is a number of young artists, because we're now actually saying, give them the charge that they're the ones who betraying Bohemiana, Bohemian music, right?
But we're finding
that there's a number of young Bohemian artists who are looking for partnership with original Bohemian music.
Let's shout out Bohemian Trey, right?
Yeah.
He came into the music scene, he made a point of connecting with the legends, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a part of understanding the industry and understanding his potential as an artist, but connecting with them to ensure the preservation of Bohemian music. So he did with Ronnie Butler before he passed.
Yes.
I think the song is called Teef.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a nice song. I like that with Father, I think it's Father Fred.
Yes, and for Father Fred. But you also mentioned Bert Williams and Calvin Lockhart.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, these were Bohemian movie stars who made it internationally, as big as Sidney Poitier. We could call three big names, Calvin Lockhart, Bert Williams, and Sidney Poitier, right? As we celebrate independence, is their narrative, is their story relevant to Bohemian independence? Is it? Are they a part of celebrating us? And that's my question towards
you. But they should be, right? And I think for that older generation of actors, their experiences would have been the same as Blind Blake and Spence and those Bohemians who were on the contract and making Bohemian music in America, right? It's sort of similar experiences, but we have to, because we have to interrogate their role in politics and in global politics and in Bahamian foreign policy as well, right? There's an argument that the government didn't, like the Pindling, the prime minister, didn't push music as revolutionary, right? Like they didn't push Bahamian music artists, right? But I could understand that, because at the time that he would have grown up in, Bahamas was a big part of the music world in and of itself.
Yes.
People come here to record. Gombe is a collection of local and foreign artists coming to create music in the Bahamas and Bahamian music.
And perhaps we need to have a show on that. What changed? What changed that? Because people came here to the Bahamas to record us.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily happening right now.
Yeah.
Right? But I have a text here. And remember, we were covering the conversation on who's responsible for delining the genres of the Bahamas, whether it's the musicians themselves or if it's government.
Yeah.
And the musicians is basically saying that they're waiting on government to give the stamp of approval to say this is a particular genre, because they are producing the music. But to be recognized as an official genre is not happening.
Right. So the text says, popular music genres, example, rock and roll, funk, pop, have typically been coined by the artists themselves or members of the music press. not government agencies. But it takes more than a name for a genre to take hold. A genre needs to have enough practitioners creating works in that style at any one time to amount to a sustainable critical mass that results in the perpetuation of the genre.
And I accept most of that, or if not all of it, right? But I find that we have a lot of artists who is not necessarily involved in the definition or defining of themselves, like Bohemian Rap, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is responsible for saying that what I'm doing is Bohemian Rap is a genre?
Yeah, I think the artist community. We got the Bahamas Entertainers and Music Union.
They don't want to rap at all.
And then we got the United Artists.
They don't want to rap or reggae inside it at all.
No, but UAB is slightly different. So the text says, so only music that agree with independence is welcome. Can music that is unconventional and express views that disagree with this system be played? Are all Bahamian artists welcome as long as the music is not explicit? Can we represent all points of views in the country as it all status quo?
Interesting. We'll end with that.
Right. And we get back into the rules of the music competition tomorrow, because that's a point of critique. Maybe people think that the government defines it because of the way they talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
They control everything. Anyway, it's Guardian Radio and AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.